This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Chubby Checker. He must have made about 10 different songs that had to do with dancing. If it were for the twist, I don't know. He probably became a multimillionaire. He's still doing, I think he's still around. Ed's nodding. I wonder,
I believe
Ed,
80?
Yeah, at least, I would think. Is he performing anymore? Of course, it's hard to perform from a wheelchair. You know what I mean? And although, if you can twist the wheelchair back and forth, you know what I mean? That might work. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, July 26th already. Wow. The month is flying by, is it not? We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Jonathan Wood of the Property and Environment Research Center. It's called PERC, about how to tackle the U.S. forest wildfire crisis. So stay tuned for that. And a former White House doctor predicting Joe Biden going to be forced to resign as president. Forced out. We're going to get some thoughts about this. I can imagine what the proprietor of the barber pole will think about that. But we're going to talk with him anyway, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. And a conservative group called First America Legal, scoring big court victories against the Biden administration. We're going to take a look at this organization. They're going after Biden for just coming out with these executive orders, you know, where the Senate and the House should be voting on things. So anyway, we'll take a look. And got a good Ultimate Top 10, brand new, just hot off the press, the top 10 best U.S. airlines for the past year. They call it for 2021. Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored in part, Freedom Works, by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. For my money, the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, best for quality of cut, best for price. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Well, so China, surprise, surprise, does not want anybody to look. They don't want to look-see at the Wuhan laboratory. Chinese officials Thursday, last week, rejected a WHO proposal for the next step in searching for the origins of the virus. Really? Why? Why would they do that? Why are we so cynical about China's intentions? Because we know. That's why. We know it came out of the lab. Don't let Fauci or anybody else go talking about some bat flying around and a dog getting bit and selling dog meat in the market. Forget it. It came out of the lab. Now, whether it came out intentionally or not, or whether they were doing a Dr. Frankenstein, you know what I mean? Working with all of these things inside the lab and then created this virus, I don't know. There are some people that believe it's called gain of function. It's a nice way of saying they basically took control of the virus in the lab. They took control of it. They were able to manipulate the virus in the lab. Gain of function. Gain of function sounds nice. I think manipulating the virus in the lab sounds more accurate. So, after a visit to the Wuhan lab last winter, a joint Chinese international team concluded that the virus probably jumped from an animal, determined that a market linked to early cases, not necessarily the source, though, and all but dismissed the possibility of a lab leak. That was a joint Chinese international team. Since then, not so much. Now we figured it out. We should have figured it out right away. If you have any trust in the country of China, they lied about the number of people that were dying. God knows how many people died from the virus. God knows how many people. I'll bet you more people contracted the virus. I'll bet if you took the total number in the world of people that contracted the virus, China's probably got about 50%.
Yeah, I was going to say, if we want to get in and investigate the Wuhan lab and China won't let us in, can we just use Dr. Fauci's key?
Yes. The answer, that's a short answer. Yeah. What we do is we sneak a helicopter, or maybe we can, no, I got a better idea. We'll use a drone.
Mm-hmm.
With robotic arms, okay? Yeah. Now, hear me out. The drone flies in. The robotic arms unlock the door. The robot drone goes in. Robot drone takes pictures. Mm. Comes back out. Case solved. But they're never going to let us in.
No.
I don't think. And what do you think Biden is going to do about it?
Nothing.
Exactly. Nothing. And so we're going to be talking about it. And then, of course, the press, the mainstream press, they don't want to talk about it. What they want to talk about is how Republicans don't want to get the vaccination, which is not true. Or that Republicans are saying that the thing is a hoax. That's not true, and Trump never said that the virus was a hoax, despite what you'll hear from some people still. So according to this story, if China continues to limit investigation, according to Georgetown University's Institute for National and Global Health, the world will have little recourse. Yeah. I mean, what are we going to do? Are we going to take soldiers and go to China? First of all, they got more soldiers than anybody, too. They got more of everything than anybody. So we're not going to be able to do it because China won't cooperate. But the rest of the world knows. And the Chinese government can take the blame for all of these people dying. They can take the blame because they wouldn't allow investigation. They wouldn't be honest when it leaked. They allowed flight travel from their country, but they knew enough not to allow flight travel within their country. Now, figure that out. Why would they do that? So it's very, very, they're treacherous. Let's just be honest about it. I would not trust a Chinese government official as far as I could throw them with one arm. Now, they're smaller people than we are, but still, I can't do it. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Jonathan Wood. We're going to try to figure out how to tackle this U.S. forest wildlife crisis.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Go Yard! is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life's struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And it's good to be back. I said wildlife. I meant wildfires. We got these wildfires going on. Now, we have a few at here in Florida every once in a while, but they're more like brush fires. Out west, we got these national parks. I mean, these are acres and acres, thousands of acres of fires. And it's been going on quite consistently out there. We've got Jonathan Wood joining us. He is an attorney and vice president of law and policy at an organization called PERC, the Property and Environment Research Center. They released their annual report on how best to prevent and lessen the wildfire season. Jonathan, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I mean, here in the East, I guess we don't pay as much attention as we should possibly to what is going on out west, Oregon, California, and other areas with these wildfires. Maybe a lot of people think it's because of the drought, but, you know, a lot of that area is kind of around desert to begin with, so we're not surprised. What is going on? Why do we seem to have more wildfires?
So drought plays a role, of course, but the biggest factor is the amount of fuels in our fires. So for most of the 20th century, the federal government's approach was to put out all fires, not allow any fire, but also to reduce the amount of timber harvesting. So over a series of decades, we got a lot of brush and a lot of dead trees building up in the forest that are just fuel for future fires. In fact, today, the U.S. Forest Service predicts that about 80 million acres, or more than a third of the federal land it manages, is at high or very high risk of wildfire due to excess fuels.
Boy, that's a scary number. I noticed that it says here the August complex fire burned more than 1 million acres. 1 million acres across three national forests. I mean, this is really amazingly scary. And I suspect that people worry also about the pollution in the air that comes from it.
That's absolutely. I mean, the destruction caused by wildfires is across the board. Obviously, communities and people are threatened. In the last 15 years, 100,000 structures, not all of which are homes, most of them are, have been destroyed by wildfire, and two-thirds of that were in the last 4 years alone. So the consequence for humans and for communities is getting worse, but you also have wildlife habitat destroyed and
right.
Smoke. Causing haze thousands of miles away from the fire. So I live in D.C., which is currently, you know, under air quality advisories because the smog is reaching that area.
Wow. So what are we going to do? I mean, we can talk and talk and talk about it. I know that the government wants to take the correct measures, or I suspect they do. They also have to work with the states, correct? And then, in some cases, they also have to work with the private sector on this. So there's got to be... I guess we got to figure out some way of getting together on this.
Absolutely. There's broad agreement across political spectrum that you have to do something to reduce fuels on our national forests and other federal lands. That's really where the epicenter for many of these fires are. But the unfortunate thing is that the federal government just doesn't have the capacity to ramp up fuel reduction to the level it needs to do. So right now, at the current rate, it would take decades to get through that 80 million acre backlog I mentioned. And a big problem is that the Forest Service doesn't have personnel to do that kind of work. It's primarily a firefighting service at this point. So if you want to find the people who can actually go into the forest and manage it and perform prescribed burns or remove excess timber, that's at the state level and that's in the private sector.
Is there enough concern with this issue right now? Or do you think I hate to use this one, but fan the flames of concern? Do we need to do that?
No, I think the concern is there. Really, the question is whether the federal government will allow the work to happen. Mm-hmm. So throughout the West, communities, businesses, conservation groups are stepping up, expressing an interest in doing this on their own dime. But federal regulations too often get in the way of that. So the Forest Service won't be able to commit to allowing this work to be done or to contribute funds to it. And any work on federal land has to go through a smorgasbord of environmental regulations, which can slow things down and make it much more costly.
You're saying at the current pace, it would take decades to treat the areas at risk of catastrophic wildfire. We got to do something about that, don't we?
Absolutely. You got to increase the pace. So we've got to scale this up. And, you know, one of the things about thinking about it is the decade backlog, other problems going to arise in the interim. So you wouldn't even have it solved in 20 to 30 years. So really the only way to get the pace that we need is for the federal government to work with states and the private sector to do this work. And you're already seeing examples of that. So in a new report for PERC called Fix America's Forests, we discussed a series of examples throughout the West where communities stepped up and said, okay, the federal government's not solving this problem. We're willing to pay for it and do the work. Just get out of our way. And that's really a model that does have the potential to scale.
Yeah.
People value the national forest. They want to live near healthy forests with wildlife and no fires. So they have a real big incentive to contribute to closing this backlog.
You know, I've always, and we're a libertarian show for the most part, I've always been suspicious or worried, I guess, about how much land the federal government owns and why it can't be remanded back to the states, like in Utah and some of these other areas. And I'm thinking that some of this parkland, I guess, is federally controlled, right? And so is there, maybe this is, and you're saying, you know, that the states and locals seem to work better than, say, the states and federal or the local and federal. Maybe it's time to start remanding a lot of this land back to the states.
Well, that's not likely to happen. That's the third rail of federal land politics.
I bet.
But you can get a lot of the benefits of that without transferring this out of federal control by just allowing more state activity and private management of these lands. And you're already seeing some of that. There's a law known as good neighbor authority that allows states to play a significant role in managing federal forests. There are obstacles to that and reasons why it's not working perfectly, as we go through in the report, but there are tools available so that you can have more work done without having to go to the sort of extreme measure of transferring federal land to private hands.
Do you mind if my buddy Ed Davis asks you a question here, Jonathan? Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Jonathan. It seems that every year this happens. We get that big fire and this time last year, it was just labeled as Trump's fault because of 3 years of him ignoring global warming. So they passed it off on that. In Florida, we have a lot of controlled burns. So is this just part, these big things that happen out there, just part of nature basically running its course sometimes? Sometimes bigger than other years?
No. So nature plays a role. Drought makes wildfires worse by drying out fuels, and climate is increasing drought. But the reason why these wildfires get so big is the amount of fuel. So Florida historically had incredibly large fires. But today you guys manage the area so that doesn't happen. You use prescribed burns. You make sure fuels don't build up. For decades, that hasn't happened in the West. Regulations have limited the amount of prescribed burns that can happen. Environmental regulation limit timber harvesting or other measures to reduce fuels. So this really is a man-made crisis made worse by all the other things like climate change and drought.
You know, it's interesting. See, we're going back to the thing that when the federal government is overseeing things, they put in these regulations that actually end up hurting the situation. It sounds to me, what you're saying is that these federal regulations are impeding what the states could be able to do.
That's right. They were well-intentioned, but they have a basic flaw. The idea behind most environmental regulations is that doing nothing is good, that anything you do is bad for the environment, but wildfires flip that. If we do nothing, a ton of wildlife habitat is going to be destroyed, a ton of air pollution is going to be released into the air, and communities are going to be threatened. The only way to protect the environment is to be proactive and manage forests to address the wildfire.
Right, but I'm saying that the federal government seems to be getting in the way of this. to some extent.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and in the report I mentioned, Fix America's Forests, we go through how to solve that problem.
Okay, good. We're talking with Jonathan Wood. He is an attorney, and he's vice president of law and policy at PERC, Property and Environment Research Center. And they have come out with a way of working on restoring our national forests, tackling these wildfires, which are so insidious. And they're, like you said, Jonathan, we don't even talk about the wildlife that's being threatened by this. It's terrible. We worry about the pollution. Now, nature has a way of dealing to some extent. Like if man was not even around, somehow nature figured out a way to get rid of the old timber, et cetera, right?
Yeah, well, historically, these lands are actually managed through fire by native tribes. They're fire adapted, which means that without fire, things go wrong very quickly. And historically, native tribes used prescribed burns to promote the kind of game they wanted and the kind of forest they wanted.
Yeah. So are we on our way? I mean, in a way, you're saying, you know, things are moving along. But then I hear you kind of saying, but we're running up against the federal government. This is very frustrating. We are decades behind where we need to be. So there's a clarion call, I'm hoping. There's a clarion call out, particularly out west, for getting some things done. Do you think the states are going to be able to get together with the federal government ultimately? And I mean, is the Biden administration listening enough, in your opinion?
I'm hopeful. You can never be too confident when you're dealing with politics, but the fact that California is concerned about this and advocating for more active management is a good sign. The Biden administration has said a lot of the right things, but it's going to be tough. You have to deal with a series of environmental regulations and other obstacles that are going to be controversial. You're going to have to allow more active management that a lot of environmental groups are concerned about. They might try to challenge litigation, another problem you have to deal with. What's working right now is the exception, not the rule, and we need to change that.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we read about these. Is there anything that people can do on their own? It's very frustrating, other than contacting their congressman, I guess. These fire departments that do these jobs that are, you know, and the forest rangers, et cetera. I mean, what can the average man on the street do with this issue, say out in California, other than maybe getting into some organization that is pushing it like perhaps you are? Are you still there, my friend? I think Jonathan got tired of me talking, Ed. I think we lost him. Well, Jonathan, if you can hear me, we cannot hear you, but I want to thank you very much for coming on. Hold on here and see if we can find you. Maybe he's still there. Maybe a fire took, he apparently disappeared. Maybe he was called out on a fire call. But we want to thank Jonathan very much from PERC for being with us. That's the way they go sometimes. They just disappear. All right, we're going to take our break. Hopefully the phones are okay, because when we come back, a former White House doctor predicts Joe Biden's going to be forced to resign as president. We're going to get some thoughts on that. I can't wait. From the proprietor of the Barber Pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning. Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Hey, by the way, we're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. And you can go to our website, find out who's going to be our guest. Also, you can listen to our shows, because Big Ed puts all of our shows on podcast. You can go back and listen to the dulcet tones of my voice and our guests and our top 10 and listen to Ed yell at me and all these good things. Go to OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com, and away you go. All right, well, Ed, I don't know. I guess I watched some of the Olympics. I did watch the basketball game last night. I don't know if you did, between the USA and France. We should have walked all over France. Guess what happened? We lost. We lost to France. Is France a basketball pop? We lost 83.
Well, they have a couple of NBA players.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. But we lost 83 to 76.
I think the old USA team just thought all they had to do was show up.
Yes. I'm thinking that, too. Kind of an embarrassment. It was our first game, and we lose. Okay. So is NBC. Did you look at the number of people watching?
No, because I wasn't one of them.
And you were among a majority of people.
I flipped through and just stopped for 30 seconds, maybe. It was that fencing thing, and the girl poked her in the chest, and they called her the winner. I think there should be like a...
What?
A packet of blood or something that
I like,
you know,
that.
And they poke them and then
I like it. You know, I like a
like
little
a,
scream.
Like a paint gun, you know, the paintball.
Yeah,
yeah.
There should be a little thing right at the end of the tip.
Hey, there's an Olympic sport, paintball.
I like it.
Now I'd watch that.
Yeah, I would too.
That'd be paintball. I'd watch that.
Yeah. So you're talking about fencing, I take it.
Yeah, it was fencing. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't they put a little blood packet at the end of the tip, and then when you do touch them, it pops the blood packet.
Yeah, but then you get them on the arm. That's nothing. There was a little screen thing right around the heart area. That should be filled with red fluid.
I think so.
And when you poke, you know that's it. You know, it's over.
Yeah, there should be a big, long shriek.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the numbers are not that good either. NBC's broadcast drew 16.7 million viewers. That's the smallest audience in the past 33 years.
Wow.
33 years. Wow. And, you know, they got about six or seven different stations on NBC. You got MSNBC, you got CNBC, you got NBC Sports Network, you got the regular NBC. I mean, come on. And they drew that? That's kind of scary. All right. Meantime, we got both Sorace brothers here. I bet they're champing at the bit, but I want to lead with this for both of them. Representative Ronnie Jackson used to be the doctor in the White House, and he's turned Congress. He said he's terrified for our country. He thinks that Joe Biden has completely lost it. Quote, he's completely lost it. And he brings up what Biden said the other day, I guess, on that that panel thing, that laughing group of people that were there, where he answered a reporter's question about defunding the police by claiming that Republicans accuse him of, quote, sucking the blood out of kids. So Ronnie Jackson says the guy needs a cognitive test, and he doesn't think Biden's going to be able to finish his truck because they're going to take him out. So we got both Sorace brothers here, and Andrew, I'm sure you're upset to hear that from this Dr. Ronnie Jackson. You certainly don't agree with that.
Well, they didn't have to ask the doctor. They could have asked me.
Yes.
But that guy's a refried bean. You already know that.
Okay.
Lung and Alzheimer's ward being supervised. Period.
Yeah.
Period.
Do you think he should be in a straitjacket, or is he okay bouncing off the walls?
He's a harmless guy as long as he's not dealing with the country. He couldn't hurt nothing.
Okay.
Okay, but you got to realize he's being told what to do, and look at the end result of what we're going to get. Kamala Harris.
Well, that's the other thing. Maybe we ought to keep him
loyal now. You haven't seen nothing.
Angelo, do you think that Biden has lost his nut?
A long, long time ago.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Time ago.
Would you rather have Biden or Kamala Harris running the country?
Neither, to be honest with you. But, you know, let's hang on to this nut case. In 2022, Republicans take over Congress. President Trump runs for congressman in Florida, becomes Speaker of the House.
Well, you buy into that.
Goes to, becomes president, then runs for president again.
So you buy into the Trump becoming Speaker of the House?
He should do that now, and this way take the country back from these idiots that are running.
Yeah.
Now the sooner the better. Then he becomes president. Then everything's back to normal. Look what we got right now.
Yeah. So Angelo, have you been talking to your brother? Has he convinced you of this idea that Trump's going to become Andrew? Are you still buying into this thing that maybe Trump becomes the Speaker of the House?
Well, you don't have to be a congressman to be Speaker of the House.
That's true. You're right.
Okay, you do
but
not
the
have
Democrats
to be.
Democrats are trying to push a bill through to stop
that. If they take over the House, maybe they can draft Trump to be Speaker. Again, the Speaker of the House with a majority in both houses has more power than the president.
Yeah,
that's simple.
Okay. Angelo, earlier in the show, I don't know if you heard it, we were talking about how China is putting the kibosh on the investigation of the Wuhan lab. I mean, that tells you right there that it probably came from a lab. Do you believe that the virus came from the lab?
No, absolutely. There's no way that it came from their wet markets or anything. That was just, BS that they were passing around. They knew what happened, and, I think a lot of the American intelligence agency knew what was happening, and it was starting to spread, and I guess...
Do you think Biden is...
He knew, too, that, and he put an end to the travel and all this stuff, and the Democrats weaponized what he was doing, and, that hurt America right from the get-go. I think the Democrats heard it. Hurt this country right from the get-go.
Do you think the Biden administration is not going to push at all to get to the bottom of the virus origin?
No, they may say they're going to do it, but it's just lip service.
Yeah.
Because they've got things going on with China for years,
mm-hmm.
the Biden family and the Democrats.
Andrew, this drives me crazy. The Biden administration and the media talking about how everybody should be vaccinated, right? And, and yet they've got a porous border with people with all kinds of diseases pouring through. What is going on? They don't give a damn about the border. So, therefore, I don't think they really give a damn about the spread of the virus.
Well, here's the facts. Okay, the CDC was given the PCR test for the so-called COVID-19 virus. Now they said they got to switch back to the COVID-2 test, which is SARS, because they're getting too many false positives with the test that they've been using. So they closed down the country with false tests, number one. Number two, okay, I'm not afraid of this so-called virus whatsoever, Paul. And you know why? You know why it's not as bad as they're telling you? Because if it was, they would have the damn border closed. They let 1 million people through.
Right.
They have no idea what they have. What they got, and you know what they're doing? They're transporting them all over the country in little buses.
You're right.
In little planes.
Yeah, it's like they're spreading disease.
Like seeds. So are they trying to kill the American public? Joe Biden should be arrested for murder.
Yeah, it's like they're
just like they said with Trump. He is literally killing people. Murder.
I think this is what's going to do win the Democrats in next year in the election.
Well,
one of many. What do you think, Angelo? Is this... I mean, do you get the same feeling? I suppose they're dumping. Are they dumping? Are they just dumping these illegals into red states, or are they dumping some into New York?
I think they're. They should put them right near Cuomo's office, right?
Yeah, I think so. He could make them. Well,
problems.
He could work with them on his sexual harassment problems.
But, you know, here's the thing. The reason American people are not getting vaccinated is because they see what's happening down on the southern border where they're letting people in. And they're telling, in one breath, they're letting people in. And then the other breath, they're telling the American people, go get vaccinated. Everybody should be vaccinated. And the American people see this. And, you know, they have politicized this virus so much. I mean, I got my vaccinations, and, you know, I believe in it. But, you know, how are you going to tell people everybody should be vaccinated in one breath, but then in another breath you're letting people in from the southern border?
Yeah, it rings hollow. Andrew, I know you have not been vaccinated. You're very, very comfortable and healthy and everything else. And I think here in Florida, I'm guessing, or maybe I read it, Ed, you can, about 54% of Florida, or is that nationwide, 54% have been vaccinated? I mean, we're still almost at a 50-50 situation. DeSantis is getting a lot of pressure.
Mikey is here.
Oh, Mikey?
No, my son.
Oh, I heard a barking in the background. That's not your son.
It's my dog.
Okay, we want to separate your son from your dog, for sure. So now I forgot what I was talking. Oh, yes, we were talking about that sort of a 50-50 split. DeSantis, Andrew, in Florida, taking a lot of heat from the press, as he always does, because the so-called surge in cases in Florida. Do you buy into that?
Well, it's like I told you last week. Ron DeSantis is putting himself on the line. He's going by what the science says, what the graphs have to say. All they're doing is building this up. Nothing happens in Florida. Ron DeSantis would be a king.
Yeah.
If it goes down the tubes and everybody's dying, his career is over with.
Yeah.
That's how certain he is about what's going on. And I give him a lot of credit. Right away, did you hear moron Charlie Crist the other day?
Hey, I was just thinking of him.
We need a mask mandate. I'd put a mask over his freaking mouth is what you need. Okay?
Yes, sir.
People are freaking. Did you see Ron DeSantis' press conference last week in St. Pete?
Tell us about it. It was
after
good.
Rick Greisman was crying, oh, we have a racist emergency here. Oh, we have an emergency. We need a state of emergency for the red tide. He was trying to say, the government won't return my calls. Well, the government happened to show up. The governor happened to show up just as he was shooting his mouth off and held a press conference.
Right.
And he says, I've given you everything you have asked for. What are you doing with it?
That's a good point. Now, for
he
those
came right out, and he put his rear end on a plate right in front of him to show what a jerk he is.
Yeah. Now, for those of people that are, say, outside of Florida, the red tide is a regularly ongoing problem that we have here in Florida. Much of it, I suppose, is caused by the pollutant things that get into the water. Ed, do you know much?
And it's part, a lot of it's just nature.
And
I
nature.
Mean, it happens a lot. And to be specific on the Kreisman crying for, that goes good, Kreisman crying. For
crying Kreisman.
Yeah, crying Kreisman. Yeah. For the state of emergency, is DeSantis said there's money there that is specifically allocated for red tide. Now, just the money for that. What DeSantis wants, what Kreisman wants, he wants the state of emergency because when you do that, there's a lot of pork in that thing that goes flans out to other entities and they benefit from that.
That's right.
That's why Kreisman wants a state of emergency. The money is there for the red tide. The money is there. All he has to do is go get it.
That's exactly right.
That's it.
That's the way politicians are.
And it's a political move is all it is.
Right. I think, you know, that's another thing I like about Ron DeSantis. And you guys can comment. But he's tight-fisted with the with money. I think he is anyway. He really is looking out for the pocketbooks here. What do you think, Andrew?
He got that from his father.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
I know I'm right. He got that from his father growing up, believe me.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful trait. You know, Angelo, you don't have, I don't know, I think there's more love for DeSantis than there is for your Governor Cuomo. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that. But Cuomo, of course, is still battling all of those little issues that he's got going, including the nursing home deaths, although he's I guess the Department of Justice is going to give them a pass on that, right?
Yes, they are. And like I said before, I keep telling everybody, nothing's going to happen to him. You got a Democratic administration in Washington. You got a Democratic Senate and a Democratic Assembly here in New York State. And all of, you know, upstate New York, like I say, is Republican, but the Republicans have no control of the state anywhere in New York State.
So he's home free on that. What about the sexual harassment thing?
That's going to be washed out too.
What about the mayor in Rochester?
Oh yeah, she was just brought up on federal charges for gun charges.
Really?
Yeah,
cocaine, the husband, cocaine, guns, trafficking, all kinds of
really?
Stuff. She's the mayor of Rochester.
Is she a Democrat?
No. What else?
Yeah, well, and so, what is going on with her and her husband? Are they nutty?
Well, Cuomo's probably going to give him a promotion. Cuomo give him a promotion. They're working real well up there.
I mean, she might get a little slap on the hand. But she lost the Democratic nomination in Rochester. So, you know, she's done politically once here, but nothing's going to happen to her.
Okay, well, but she's through in politics, at least as mayor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, look, you still got Clapper, Comey, that other guy, Rosenberg, all these people that tried to get rid of a sitting president, treason and everything, and they're out there walking free.
Yeah, they are.
But if you and I did something like that, look, we'd be in jail for life. Look what they're trying to do to those people on the January 6th protest. I say protest. They call it sedition.
You know, I think, have you noticed that a lot of conservatives, Republicans, are talking about that lady that got killed, allegedly maybe shot by that Capitol Security policeman?
Right.
She's okay.
The only one that got,
she's the only one that died in the whole thing, and they want to slide that incident under the carpet.
Right. But they're calling it sedition and treason and all this and that. All during last summer when Black Lives Matter and Antifa were burning down buildings and this and that, the Democrats were
bringing
these people out of jail.
Crickets, too. They weren't talking about it on the media.
Right. But nothing's going to happen to them.
Yeah.
But yet they want to put these people in jail for life.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Terrible.
Come on.
You know, it's always a pleasure to talk with both of you. I mean it, because you guys.
Hey, and I happened to notice the Trump rally.
Tell
the
us.
Night he filled the stadium, filled it.
Now where
people
is it?
Standing outside.
Arizona.
It was in Arizona.
Okay, and he filled it, and they got standing room and the whole bit.
Yep.
I hope that.
But he lost the election, you know.
Yeah. Right. Well,
disgusting.
I hope to, and they. I,
president. In the United States, supposedly, gets the most votes, supposedly. Come on. This election was stolen, and everybody knows it. The only thing is, we as American people don't do what they do in third world countries, you know, rioting and protesting and tearing down buildings, except for Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And
well, speaking about Arizona, they ought to finish with the Maricopa County audit. I don't know what is taking them so long to get to the bottom of that one and publicize it so we can see whether or not Trump won Maricopa County.
Then another thing,
if he did, that would have been the one that would have put him over, you know.
Well, why don't they publicize it? Why don't they finish it? What's going on?
Apparently, they have to subpoena something with the machines, and they will not let him go.
Well, Andrew, this is going the way of the Durham report, which means it goes into a little tunnel, and then the tunnel, there's a big lockbox at the end of the tunnel, and we're never going to see it.
They dump it in the Gulf.
Durham report.
Yeah. What?
Whatever happened to the Durham report?
Exactly. Durham's going to die before the report comes out.
That report will never come out.
In fact, the report will be in his will, and the will will say, don't open this.
Revolution.
You know, crazy.
You know, I say, Paul, America first. We, American people, should resist what's going on right now. Don't tolerate what's happening.
You're right.
We should all go on strike. Nobody go to work.
Oh, my goodness.
The whole country. Let's shut it down ourselves.
Scary.
Hey, we're talking sedition.
Yeah, we are. You got to watch that. Gentlemen, I got to run. I could talk forever with you, but thank you both, and we'll talk with you, Andrew, tomorrow.
Thank you for having me on.
Our pleasure. All right, there they go, the brothers Cerisi. Take our break. It's going to be a short break. And then we will be back. And among other things, we're going to talk about the top 10 best U.S. airlines.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Okay, we are back for the final segment. Thank you so very much for being with us. A conservative legal group, it's called America First Legal, set up by former Trump advisor Stephen Miller. It's working. It's scoring some big victories against the Biden administration. Just weeks after getting started, they go after some of these executive orders that Joe Biden has promulgated, where Congress is really the legal authority. In other words, we're going around the Constitution with some of this stuff, and Biden is trying to get away with it. And so here comes this group, American First Legal. They want a preliminary injunction, for instance, against the Department of Agriculture's program that would have forgiven loans to what they call socially disadvantaged farmers. In other words, minority farmers wouldn't have to pay the loans back, but the white farmers would have to pay them back. Come on. That's an easy one. You can't do that. That's discrimination. That's white discrimination. Mm-hmm. I don't like discrimination either way. That's horrible. It's race discrimination. So that they want a preliminary injunction against that. Its other key victory came when the Biden administration was ordered to stop prioritizing certain groups in awarding funds under its Restaurant Revitalization Fund. It's another way of funneling money towards Democrats and minorities. That's another unfair shot. And this group, keeping their eyes open, has stopped it. So it's good news. Go ahead, Ed.
And I was going to say, I wanted to give you an update on the vaccine, but stay real quick.
Yeah.
That you know, the course of Democrats, according to the African Americans, in the election and all that stuff, ironically, they're the worst ones to get vaccinated.
They are.
Let me give you the Deep South, okay? Georgia, 38%. Alabama, 34%. These are fully vaccinated now, okay? Mississippi, 34%.
Are you talking about the
fully vaccinated? I'm talking about, but you're talking about state like Georgia that are that have a high African American population.
Okay, so that's the total percent of the state. You just
the whole state. Yeah.
Okay.
So you're looking in the 30s, where Florida is right now at 48.5%,
and it's got a larger population too.
And even California and all their problems, 52%.
So what you're saying is a large percentage of minority people are not getting vaccinated. I think that makes sense.
Well,
they aren't.
Less than half the country. I mean, we were all ready to get this thing, to get the pandemic over with, and more than half the country doesn't want the shot.
That's true. By the way, I have to admit, I got the shot.
Yeah. You did get yours?
I did. I got the Johnson shot. And for those of you that are looking for the Johnson shot, which is only one shot, the CVS pharmacies that have, I think it's called a MediUnit or something like, you know what I mean? It's a wholly owned organization that goes to the CVS, and you can get, I walked in and got the shot.
Any after effects or anything like that?
I lost my mind. No.
Did you find it first?
I had Bidenitis. I couldn't find it. couldn't find my car when I walked. No, you know what? No, the only thing I really had was a little bit of soreness, a little bit of stiffness. And that's it. Mm. Yeah, everything was good.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. It is time for our top 10. Ed, I was going to ask you a couple of other things, but we don't have time. So I got to get to the best U.S. airlines of 2021. Here we go. By the way, this is coming from the website, The Points Guy. The Points Guy. But they did, a rather comprehensive deal on this. So here we go. Number 10. Allegiant.
St. Pete Clearwater Airport.
I can't believe it's number 10 because but anyway, it says top performing areas, involuntary bumps, baggage, and wheelchairs and scooters. So they're good with that. Their worst performing area is they're not on time. Oh. Timeliness, cancellations.
Man. Those things aren't important.
That's why I'm getting on your plane. I want to get there by a certain day. Oh, God. All right, number 9. Frontier Airlines is 9th best. Their top performing areas, cancellations. They're not many, or they deal with them well. And affordability. They got a good price. What are their worst things? Involuntary bumps. They must hit all the potholes on the airport concrete. Baggage and change fees. They screw you there.
Yeah.
And award availability. They don't give you no stinking awards for frequent flyers, which, by the way, I never thought. There were always these conditions. I just said, get away. I don't want to hear about them. Yeah. All right. Number 8. Spirit. You ever flown on Spirit?
Yes, I have.
Do you like it?
Well, you pay for everything. You even have to tip the pilot on the way out, too.
Yes, you do. Yeah, and even if you want water.
It's a little change jar there.
Well, you're right. Their best is cancellations and affordability. Their worst is wheelchairs, scooters. I can imagine. They can't even get a wheelchair on there. Wheelchair, scooters, baggage, and change fees. Okay, number 7. Hawaiian. Hawaiian Airlines is number 7. Very good. Timeliness. They're good things. Timeliness and involuntary bumps. I was thinking involuntary bumps was, this is how stupid I am. Involuntary bumps means being bumped off your seat.
Yes. What'd you think? You potholes?
I'm afraid to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, potholes. Okay. The worst is customer satisfaction. It's bad, I guess, and route network. All right, number 6. JetBlue is number 6.
I like JetBlue. I don't care what they say.
No, well, they like it.
Okay.
They like it. Cabin features and award availability for JetBlue. The bad things, bag, change fees.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, number 5. Hey, the old standby American Airlines, been around forever. American Airlines, it's number 4, or number 5, rather. Their best things are family, it's good for family, and route networks. You can, you know, network all around the country with them. Worst thing is their baggage situation, interestingly. All right, number 4. I got to hurry up. Alaska Airlines, all right. Good things, lounges. Bad things, bag and change fees. Number 3. United. Good things, route network and frequent flyer. Bad things, they're too expensive. Affordability, believe it or not. Number 2, Southwest Airlines. I knew they would be up there, Southwest. Best things, customer satisfaction, bag and change fees, and award availability. Worst thing, lousy lounges. Lousy lounges. All right, Ed, what do you think's number 1?
I don't know who's left.
Oh, come on.
I know.
They're headquartered in Atlanta.
Well, that narrows it down. Everybody's in Atlanta.
It's Delta.
All right, Delta.
Delta Airlines, number 1. And their best thing, that involuntary bump-offs and lounges are the best thing. The worst thing is affordability. Okay? So there you go.
So they're the best.
They're the best.
Okay.
Delta Airlines, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so very much. We will be back tomorrow. Remember this, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104